Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. Brody.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Grotes is here with his Bears hit. One word, it is brought to you by McGrath City Honda. When you do the math, you choose McGrath. I think Mark Grody did an excellent Bears hit yesterday. He continues to show his comedic chops, and that he has got excellent timing and rapport with the players that he covers. Hey, Groats.
What's going on? Thanks, Lawrence. That was very kind of you. I'll see if I can be hilarious at some point in time during this update.
That
today.
Never works. When you try, when you decide you're going to be hilarious, it doesn't work.
I know. So this is probably going to be a very, very unfunny Bears hit.
But so far, it's terrible.
Can't believe it. I will start with some of the good. The good for the Bears was
There's good for the
Bears. Well, even the good has caveats. The headline is Braxton Jones practiced in full today. But the caveat, I suppose, would be that this was another walkthrough practice, so these are just estimations. If it was a full practice, a real practice, the Bears have estimated that Braxton Jones would be a full participant. Why is that important? Because we saw what happened when they put Karan Amagaji out there, and if the Bears are still trying to win games and be positive and get everybody looking good on tape here for the final three games of the season, that you probably want your full-time left tackle in there to play. So it seems to be trending in that direction. That said, really good question to Bears offensive coordinator. I have to keep all this stuff straight in my mind. That'd be Chris Beatty, the former wide receivers coach. A good question to him about Karan Amagaji versus Larry Borum.
At left tackle, is Karan better? Is he ahead of Larry Borum today as a player, or is that a case where you're hoping Karan grows into something?
That's probably a good question. At the end of the day, the only way is to get out there and see, you know, who can make those plays and who can make the blocks. I think it's one of those things. It's hard for a young guy first start in that environment with that noise to be able to get off on the snap. You know, those things were some issues clearly. So we're trying to clear those up. I don't know, you know, at the end of the day, you know, who's needs to be out there to start. You know, I think we need to be able to adjust better to help whoever's out there, you know, whether it be Larry or Karan or Braxton or whoever ends up out there. We got to put them in a position to be better, more successful.
As a follow-up to that, do you think that was a good experience for Amagaji despite having struggled to put him in that spot? Will it have done him good down the road, so to speak?
All experiences are good experiences if you learn from them. And if you don't, then they're all bad. So I think at the end of the day, I think hopefully he's learned some things from it. The speed of the game, there's no simulating what it is on a Monday night or Sunday afternoon. So those things are adjustments for him. The first time really getting out there, like, and you're the guy. So I do think those things are beneficial because you have to get out there and experience it yourself. And again, like, we take full responsibility as coaches to put those guys in positions to be successful, and we've got to do a better job, and I've got to do a better job in my role and doing that. And that's, at the end of the day, it ultimately falls on us putting those guys in positions to have a chance to be successful.
All right, so there's the skill set. I'm sorry, Lawrence. Like, there's the skill set and, like, the technique part of it, but that last part, our job as coaches to put these guys in the best position to be successful, they didn't do that.
No. They did not do that, and I appreciate the acknowledgement. It's so reminiscent. I'm going to geek out here for a minute, Speaks. It's reminiscent of the scene in Infinity War where Loki is talking to Thanos, and he's saying to him, yeah, well, you know, I've got a lot of experience. And Thanos is like, if you consider failure experience, sure. And he goes, no, I consider experience. That's what it feels like we just heard there, where they failed him, and he failed because they failed him. Like,
let me ask you, how do you guys think that they because they didn't give him enough help, basically, is what you're
correct
saying.
Especially like you go to that, yeah, first, that second third down, that was it, third and nine, Speaks?
It's the second third down, and that's the one I'm thinking of the whole time when they're telling me that, yeah, he had trouble getting off the ball quickly. Like, dude was by him before he moved, so you have to know as a coach if you think that's going to be an issue. And that's really, I'm like, well, what is the issue there? Is he that slow? Did he freeze mentally waiting for some kind of cue that doesn't happen in a loud stadium? Like, what the hell was going on? I feel like you as a coach have to be simulating crowd noise during the week and finding out whether this guy can do this or not.
And the thing about yesterday's show, Speaks, is Big Ann Heron and Patrick Manley talked about this. His technique was bad. Like, it's not just that he was overwhelmed or overpowered. His actual down-to-down technique on what it is he's doing was bad, and that's something that could have been fixed.
Wow.
had he had more time to play.
So don't make him play yet. Correct.
There it is, and that's where I think they failed him as a player.
I will add this, guys, before I move on to Eric Washington, and that Bears. Is that Bear. Offensive line coach Chris Morgan said today that he, Ryan Poles, and Thomas Brown, the head coach, interim head coach, were all in lockstep on the decision to start Amagaji. Now, I don't know if that's actually the case, because it could have been Ryan Poles saying, here's what I would suggest, and the two employees saying, yeah, that sounds good, boss.
Sounds great to us.
Yeah, and again, in theory, I like the idea, because, of course, the season is done, you're out of the playoffs, and you have this third-round pick who, let's see what he can do.
I don't
throw
like
him in there.
Yeah, but you got a quarterback who's an actual person. I thought Lawrence's rant in transition the day after the game was spot on. That's an actual human being. That's not a line item. That's a human being who is clearly frazzled.
Wow. It sometimes we do have to remind ourselves that Caleb Williams is an actual 23-year-old human being.
Do you guys agree that yesterday he let you in on a little bit more? He's super guarded and he's super presentational. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels like he's just trying to make sure he says the right thing. And he's a young guy just trying to do that. But yesterday I thought he let you in a little bit more about just how difficult this is and how he's frustrated. He's inaccurate. And that's not been a thing he's dealt with in his life, so he knows something's off.
Right, and I think that's this sounds weird, but I think that's the good news, that was not part of his story. And, of course, everything can change for an NFL player at the NFL level. Things that didn't hinder them at one level could hinder them at the next. But I say it's a good thing, because I think that that's something that he will work obsessively to straighten out. It has to have been one of his 5 to 7 things that he wrote down. The thing that worried me yesterday, Spiegel, is – I heard him, and I was watching him, and I was following his body language, and I was looking at his eyes while he was up the podium, and he gave that 2 to 3 minutes about how losing has affected him and how much losing just crushes his soul. That worried me a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, if you take losing that seriously, you've lost 8 in a row in your rookie year. And I just hope that, you know, no matter how much we want to pay attention to the psychological and mental side of sports, I do hope that somebody was paying attention to that, and that will be incumbent upon whomever the next head coach and or offensive coordinator is, not only to unlock more from him as a player and make him more accurate and get the footwork better and all the mechanics that are existing, but you've got a guy who is kind of at the bottom mentally in terms of how, it, like I said, if we're taking him at his word, his soul has been crushed by this 8-game losing streak.
That's heavy stuff.
I think it comes across. And the thing is like, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with that as part of the learning process, because he's not supposed to. This is where I think that we put on players stuff that even regular human beings deal with on a day-to-day basis. There are going to be times when stuff like this happens.
Okay, so then he best learn from it, because of what I feel like we're seeing. I feel like we're seeing all of that Grody's speaking to affecting his decisions on a play-to-play basis. And we know that happens. And we can talk. Let's put a pin in this, Groats, for you and me tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Lawrence is out tomorrow, and it's you and me. But your concerns of it are, there's Lawrence dancing because he's out tomorrow.
It's going to be 75 and sunny here,
oh,
boys.
Man, good for
you.
You
earned
dude.
It, kid. You dance
did.
It up.
Yeah, you've been working your butt off. But, like, Groats, you and me tomorrow, let's talk about that, because there's a Jared Goff connection. I'll tease Robbie Triano with that as well.
Ooh.
So there's the a tree. Jared Goff, and that's who they're playing this week as it all comes together.
Baby. Yeah, man. All right.
I want to work tomorrow. I don't want to be 75 and sunny.
We became a team today. We became a team.
All right, next.
Talk about the Bears. Let's continue on with this not hilarious report. Eric Washington. This was interesting today, guys. Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator, the play caller, now going on, his fourth game as a play caller. This was the first time that Eric Washington got up to the lectern at Hallis Hall and did not have an introductory statement. Usually he's got a strong introductory statement where he's like talking about what they got to stop and what they weren't pleased with. And he was very cordial, very nice, answered all the questions, but he was a little bit more short and to the point. He just seemed frustrated up there. But the question for him was about Detroit's ability to score and score in bunches.
Yeah, they run. They're very good running the football. Very good on first and second down, and their rushing attack really keys the entire offense. It allows the quarterback to set up play action. They do an excellent job with that. So it's going to be critical for us. We did not defend the run extremely well the first time we played them on Thanksgiving. We have to flip that around in favor of our defense. We have to make sure that we can control the amount of plays that we play and the amount of possessions that our offense is able to gain.
So how much of an advantage is it then with David Montgomery not being in this game? He obviously played against you guys on Thanksgiving.
Right. I don't see an advantage in that way. Whoever they line up at the running back position, we have to be ready to do a great job. The other tailback is averaging 6 yards a game in their number one running concept, and that's the outside zone bounce play.
Oh, man.
I'm fascinated by this for a game planning standpoint, because I look at Detroit now and see them with 16 guys on defense that are on IR.
IR, yep.
Wow.
I think that they're going to be incredibly desperate, and I think that means that they're going to be incredibly aggressive and creative offensively, because they know that they're playing at a bit of a deficit defensively, which could mean that this could get really ugly for the Bears. And can the Bears keep up? I think Dan Campbell is going to take chances, because Speaks, we talked about it at the beginning of the week. The number one seed is up for grabs now.
Yeah, it is. And they know it. They got to defend it. And he's already been talking about it. He's already been talking about how they're going to be busting their ass and playing for that one seed the whole rest of the way. So, yeah, man. And then you've got Ben Johnson auditioning for his possible next job. I mean, there's a lot of juicy stuff for a holiday weekend Bears-Lions tilt.
Yeah, and I'll tip it off here, too, by saying that, you know, let's see how aggressive Thomas Brown is going to be. I mean, he showed that in the last game against Minnesota, going for it. I don't know if it was the greatest idea, going for it as early as he did in their own territory against Minnesota last week on fourth down, did it twice, and they missed both times on the short fourth down plays. I hope that doesn't scare them away from continuing to be aggressive, because I like that style. So you could have two really aggressive head coaches going at it with Dan Campbell and Thomas Brown. As we continue to kind of figure out the value of different players on the Bears and where everybody fits into the structure next year, one guy that has been interesting has been Roschon Johnson. And he, by the way, practiced in full, estimated full participant, having recovered hopefully fully from his from the concussion. But that we had a little conversation with Roschon Johnson today about his value.
What impact is the team missing when you're not playing?
I mean, I like to think of myself as just like a high-energy guy, one to, you know, keep the sticks moving, keep the drive alive, and just ultimately get the ball in the end zone. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, not being out there, obviously, I feel like I could be utilized in a lot of different ways. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm just glad to be back and glad to be back out there. So,
how nice is it to be thought of, like, it's almost like you have an identity this year, and that is the guy, like you said, the short yardage, the goal line stuff. How much do you embrace all of that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, whatever they ask me to do, I try to do it to the best of my capabilities. So, yeah, I mean, I've been more than happy to fulfill that role as it's been for this year. And as we, you know, close out these last few games, I hope to continue to do that. So,
having to watch the last couple games as you have, what have you noticed is the disconnect in that first half? What's keeping you guys from getting off to the faster start?
I think it's just the mindset of execution for us. I think we just got to go out there with the mindset of starting fast and just being confident within that and going out and doing it. I mean, you know, I know TB's done a great job of preaching that. It's up to us as players to go out and execute it. So,
interesting, because I was thinking in the first two answers, well, listen to that, very solid adult right there, solid, humble adult. And then he's asked the question, he says the players need to have the mindset of execution. It makes me wonder what he thinks the mindset has been, actually.
Yeah, or if that was just his way of saying, maybe a clumsy way of saying, we just have to execute. But yeah, mindset, that's a great call, Speaks. Like, yeah, what your mindset is not to score early in these games, or you guys aren't ready? I mean, I'm not sure what that meant.
Wouldn't you love to have an honest conversation with this coaching staff about their experience, and if they thought, you know, once we get in there, we're gonna get in here and we're gonna figure some things out, we're gonna make some changes, and then they get in there and they're like, oh my God, like, this whole thing is so messed up.
Yeah, man, that'd be fascinating with Thomas Brown and with Chris Beatty, who are smart dudes and real good assistant coaches.
And very thoughtful. Yeah. You know, you can hear them being
impressive.
Thoughtful.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And look, Beatty's got the trust of some of the best veteran wideouts in this league from all those years. And Thomas Brown has a lot of belief around this league, but this has not gone the way they thought it was going to go, Groats.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, while you guys are talking about it, I really, you know, to your point, like, these guys, like, I'm glad we're getting to know these guys better. Like, if what happened didn't happen, and of course we all wish it didn't happen, because if Flus wasn't fired, that would mean the Bears were better. But we're getting to know Chris Beatty better. We're getting to know, you know, Eric Washington better, Thomas Brown. These are all guys we would not have known much about except for our, you know, they do allow us to talk to the assistants, you know, as they did today, you know, a couple times a month, which is always good. But that they have gotten some of this shine is good. And unfortunately, you know, unless things really are startling at the end of the year, we're not going to see any of these guys associated with the Bears. So it kind of sucks that way. And then I guess the other part is, too, it's like it is amazing how fast guys can look really good like Thomas Brown, and all of a sudden you start losing and you're seeing some of the same things start to happen, and how it's just every coach gets infected with the badness of a given year here at Hallis Hall. That's for sure.
What else we need to know?
Yeah, one more cut here before a couple of nuggets for you guys. Kevin Byard was talking, and I feel like the last thing standing for the Chicago Bears was their defense specifically. We know the numbers have gone down. We know how jarring some of the run defense, pass defense, everything has been for the Bears. But the one thing that had been still standing tall, even in the last time they played Detroit, was the Bears' defense and their ability to keep teams out of the end zone. It should have been a blowout in the first half of the Detroit game, but it just kept being field goal, field goal, field goal. But since then, it's been an issue, and Kevin Byard was talking about it.
We haven't played good red zone defense these past few games. And that was kind of our calling card this entire year. We played really good red zone defense, not, you know, forcing field goals and stuff like that. So we have to get back to that if we want to have a shot to win the game.
What's been missing in that, you think, in red zone defense?
I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's been like execution, discipline. There's been some busted coverages and stuff like that. So we just got to get back to being cleaner. You know, in all phases of what we're doing, whether it's run game and pass game, but definitely in the red zone, because like I said, that's been keeping us in a lot of games.
Man, execution and discipline, busted coverages. How about, you see these numbers? Courtney Cronin put out a bunch, like, since week seven, the couple that jumped out to me, since week seven, the Bears are 32nd in total QBR allowed. Quarterbacks are cooking against the Bears since week seven more than any team in the NFL. Yards per drive, 31st. Teams are getting almost 40 yards every drive. And then the time to throw, quarterback's time to throw, 31st in the NFL since week seven. No pass rush, quarterbacks are cooking, and they're having long drives. Other than that, things are going great.
It's amazing. I mean, it's been a precipitous fall from, you know, the training camp. We're a top five defense to where they are, and that even their bread and butter plays on defense are not working out right now. And maybe that's why Derek Washington came across as so frustrated when he came up to the podium today. So it continues to be an issue. One couple more things here, guys, before I relieve
skedaddle.
You. Yeah, before I skedaddle. Right, exactly. There was an employee from the NFL Network, I think NFL Films, actually, today in the locker room passing out ballots for the top 100 players in the NFL. You know how they do that thing. So the players get asked specifically, good old-fashioned pen and paper, write down your top 20 favorite players. Shout out to Megan, who is handing these cards out. And Jalen Johnson refused to take a card because he was not included in the top 100 last year. He thinks the process is fraudulent. And as Jalen was sitting there by his locker, he was hilarious today. He was sitting by his locker, legs spread out. He had a big old sloppy pizza. He wasn't drinking it, and it wasn't even open, but his tequila bottle was near. And I just kind of went over to him. I'd heard that he wasn't happy with this list, and so I said, hey, what's going on? Who are you putting down as your top 20 guys? And he basically said that the process is, paraphrasing, and this is a follow-up for you guys the next time he's on, that the process is fraudulent. And I said, oh, really? I said, let me know more. And he's like, man, you got to do your own research. So
the top five MCs alive. Think about
yes!
it.
Dylon, yes.
Dylon, 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 and Dylon.
I know that that's the direction Dylon. You're going with him, Lawrence. I mean, I think maybe you ask him about that next time and then just make it all about the MCs. A couple other things today. Jervon Dexter still being held out of practice today as well. Tevin Jenkins, same. Ryan Bates, same deal. I think Jenkins is probably going to be good to go from things I was hearing in the locker room today, so there is that. And, yes, finally, I am, Spiegel, I am with you tomorrow afternoon. I see there's a Bulls game tonight. Do I need to get the link to watch the Bulls game tonight? How much Bulls will we be talking tomorrow, just so I know Bulls. How prepared I need to be?
Yeah, if Zach is not traded, I think we'll probably stick to Bears and maybe some Sosa fallout.
Okay, so I'm okay. I don't have to get the link sent to me and watch.
Nah,
okay,
you're good.
Okay, well, if again,
just watch that recap, just, you know, in case it's like a 12 minute recap that you can check out.
Okay but, all right,
but I would like you to watch all of the Cody Bellinger press conference in New York.
Yes.
Oh, I will watch that. I will. Yeah. I will be very curious. How about this Sammy Sosa, huh? I got to tell you, like that.
Hey, man, if you just wanted to get your Sammy Sosa stuff off, you could have told us that.
I could have carved out time. You got tomorrow.
I do. You know what? I will save it for tomorrow. I do have thoughts on Sammy Sosa.
That's what we like to call a tease.
That's a 21-hour tease. That's how we do it around here. That's right.
This has been delightful, guys. Take care. Have a great day, guys.
Bears. Groats will be on tomorrow in my place, which is great. Spiegs wasn't here yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He missed something really awesome.
I really need to hear it, but let's also tell the people that our favorite baseball perspective is coming at 4:40 from our guy, Barry Rosner. Tell your husbands, tell your daughters and your wives and your sons.
And your concubines. And tell them all.
Tell them all that Barry Rosner will be on talking Sammy Sosa at 4:40.
But next up.
Yes, sir.
Sexy football from two of our people that Spiegs needs to hear. And it might help shape an opinion that he has. We'll share that with him next here on the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Afternoons on the Score.
I've been doing my best, Bob. I really have. It is Spiegel and Holmes. We are here until 6. We got some sexy football. Sexy.
Marvin Gaye.
Football.
Marvin Gaye helps.
Yeah.
He always does.
Let's get it on. And let's get it on and let's talk offensive line play. Because yesterday, while you were out, we had a break. It was kind of an impromptu breakdown. And having Big Ann Heron, who he spent a long time getting after offensive tackles, having his perspective on this was really great. Patrick Manley was on fire talking about the mistakes of having Karan Amagaji out there at left tackle. Listen to these two guys break down what went wrong.
Them putting Karan Amagaji in there, I think it's a mistake going back and watch that tape. And you look at him set. He cannot vertical set. whoever the DN is for the next couple weeks, they got to be licking their chops if Braxton Jones is out for the rest of the season with a concussion, or if they, you know, rotate him in or whatever.
Patrick, stop for a second. I want you to whiteboard this. I want you and Ant to whiteboard this. Okay. When Patrick says vertical set, Ant, what does he mean, you looking at it as a defensive lineman?
The ability to actually get the proper depth within your pass set, but at the proper angle where that defensive lineman isn't going to have a B-line to the quarterback. And so as an offensive tackle, if you're going to vertically set, if you overset, then you're giving up the inside path to the quarterback. If you set short and you don't necessarily impact the defensive lineman, then you're creating a short corner. When you're setting vertically, you want to get the proper pass set at a depth and with distance that won't create a short corner, but also won't give up the inside. So it's about the angle that you're trying to force that defensive lineman to get to. And I think to your point, Patrick, it's just Karan Amagaji too often seems kind of in between. Am I trying to short set? Am I trying to vertically set? Whatever I'm doing, after he gets into kind of that second kick slide, it seems like the defender's got him on an island already.
When he sets, he's pushing off his inside foot. So what's his right foot? Well, his left foot needs to be getting backwards, vertical, whatever you want to call it. Well, it doesn't. It either goes lateral or almost a hair forward.
Yes.
So his upper body is coming back, but he's not getting vertical. If I'm that D end, I'm going to get a little bit wider this week in passing downs, because then you can beat him to that short corner. It looks to me that that's what they're trying to teach him what to do, and he's just not getting it. And what concerns me, too, is that's something you can learn to do without going one-on-one with somebody. You can do that by yourself.
That's incredible. That's really interesting and really specific. And that nugget there at the end, that he can actually learn to do it, but he's not doing it, is troubling, because what the hell is Chris Morgan doing in terms of teaching him, Lawrence?
This is why Olin last week was talking about, hey, this guy hasn't really had an opportunity to develop because he hasn't had enough practices. He hasn't had enough padded practices to learn that lesson in practice, so that it's not playing out with your quarterback's life on the line. That's the issue here. And the fact that both of our guys are like, yeah, and shout out to our guy Alex Kuhn too, because Alex brought this up and he's like, yeah, this guy is on pass protection, his first steps forward. And when you see that, and you just know that he's already going to be out of sorts, it makes you wonder what is important to the Bears overall. And when you, in my mind, when you put Caleb at risk because you're trying to develop this guy, it's not in a vacuum. It's not a preseason game with a third string quarterback who's not going to be here. It's in a real game with real stakes for the other team. And they played like it, and he wasn't even close to the amount of speed. Forget about the sack fumble, all the penalties that he allowed. Like, all of that stuff went into a bad night for the offense. And it's something that should have been thought about more thoroughly.
I really hope the Bears are working behind the scenes to communicate to prospective head coaches, and that those head coaches have done a lot of thinking about who their offensive staffs are, because they're going to need to move quickly and efficiently in their process, because you need an entire new offensive staff here that is aligned together. And I don't have a lot of faith in the Bears to get it right, but we'll be watching.
100%. We have a great opportunity for you, the Cub fan, for you, the baseball fan. In the next segment, Barry Rosner is going to join us. We found him. He agreed to pick up the phone, and we're delighted. And so will you be. That's next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, Barry.
Afternoons on The Score.
There are the targets.
Sammy Sosa has been the news of the day. It looks like he's going to be at Cubs convention. It looks like there have been fences that have been kind of mended between the Cubs and Tom Ricketts and Sammy Sosa. I don't know what any of it means, but it should be interesting. Luckily for us, we have a friend who can help us bring a lot of context to it. Don't take the cigar out of your mouth now. Like, now that the people can see you on Twitch, We found Barry Rosner.
We did. It's amazing. We had the conversation before. Well, who do we want to talk to? Well, let's talk to Tom Ricketts and find out why he agreed to this. And well, let's talk to Sammy Sosa. We can't get those guys. All right, let's talk to Barry Rosner. And we found the man, and here he is right now on the Score.
What's going on, fellas?
Well, there's a lot of news going on, and you're the perfect guy to talk about this. Also, we just love you. So when you found out that this was happening a few hours ago, what was your reaction to it?
Well, I mean, I only found out because Spiegel texted me. I mean, I was at the range hitting balls, and then I ran into some guys, and I've been day drinking since. So I only know based on what Spiegel told me or the text that he sent me. I don't understand any of it. First of all, it's not an apology. He didn't apologize for anything. I guess it looks like he's claiming he took steroids because of injuries, which is insane. We'll get back to that in a second, but I don't understand what he's apologizing for or why he needs to apologize. I don't really understand the exercise at all. I mean, if he wanted to apologize, he could have apologized for walking out on the team in 04 and lying about it and then being exposed by the Cubs with a video, which I thought was really, really bad on the Cubs' part. I mean, it's like they created this Frankenstein, and then when they were done with him because he had no usefulness anymore, they said, well, now we're going to throw him under the bus. That I thought that was really bad on Jim Hendry's part. I actually defended Sosa in that moment. I thought that was horrific. Is he apologizing for 03 when Kenny Lofton went after him in the locker room after a game during the playoffs because he wouldn't take a pitch because all he cared about was himself because he's trying to hit home runs down four runs in the ninth inning? Is he apologizing for being a terrible teammate? He was absolutely despised by his teammates. I know he's beloved by the fans, and I know they worship him, and that's fine. That's neither here nor there to me. I don't care. I don't care if he comes back. I don't care if people love him or hate him. It doesn't matter to me. I really don't understand this whole thing. But I will say this: if he's claiming that this is about injuries and that's why he took steroids, when he walked into the Cubs clubhouse in the spring of '92. With 3 days left in spring training after the trade for George Bell, he weighed 150 pounds. Okay. And each year he came back, I was still covering the Cubs at the time, he weighed more and more and more. And when he stood outside the batting cage in St. Louis and watched Mark McGwire hit home runs during BP in 97, the last weekend of the season in 97, I watched him look at Mark McGwire in awe. And when he came back in 98, he was 50 pounds heavier. I mean, I really don't understand what we're talking about or why we're all doing this or what this exercise is. My guess, and I'm just going to guess, boys,
okay,
is that he got voted into the Cubs Hall of Fame. That vote took place about a month ago. And I'm just guessing. See, he didn't get in last year. I'm guessing maybe he got in this year, and that they went to him and said, look, you got in, but you can't have this until you issue some sort of a statement. And perhaps that's why he's now going to be coming to the convention to get his Hall of Fame induction. That's a guess on my part.
I think it's a pretty good one. I'm so mad that I didn't think of the connection to that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because right around this time tomorrow, we're going to talk to your former colleague, Bruce Miles, over the Daily Herald, who's very closely connected to the voting on the Cubs Hall of Fame. We had him on. Go ahead.
I'm a voter as well, Matt.
Okay. All right. So, because I remember Bruce Miles saying a few months ago, when we had him on after Aramis got in, that they would not stand for ownership not allowing Sammy in were he to be voted in. So does that dovetail with what your thoughts are on this, Barry?
You know, I don't know. I don't go to the meetings. I don't attend the
We're not surprised. Right, let me ask you this. Because your thoughts on this are uniquely yours, and they're delightful, of course. So what has been your take on the tete-a-tete that has existed before today? Like, Sammy is the person that you've described and was that person, but then Tom Ricketts had decided he wasn't going to allow him to be part of these fan activities and other things. Who was right in that tete-a-tete, if anyone?
I don't have a thought for you on that. Like I said before, I don't understand what it was they wanted him to apologize for exactly, or why that, you know, that was a stipulation in him returning. Like, none of that really makes sense to me. I mean, if, like I said, if he wanted to apologize for being a terrible teammate, and he was, or being selfish on the field, and he was, or caring only about himself, which he did, or for taking steroids, which he did, or for walking out on the team in 04, or for just, you know, being who he was, a guy who cared about nothing but himself, you know, if he wanted to apologize for all of those things, I think that would be terrific, actually, although I don't know what it changes. I don't know what it is that Tom Ricketts wanted from him exactly. I truly fail in this case, Matt, to come up with any kind of an answer for you, because I don't understand it. I don't know what this exercise was between the two sides. I really don't. And his... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you've blown my mind with this, because now I look at the statement differently. Like, I'm back looking at the statements of both, and Marquis put it out, and inside of there are the statistics. Sosa spent 13 years with the Cubs, hitting 545 home runs, garnering 7 All-Star Game appearances, 6 Silver Slugger Awards, 1998 NL MVP Award. Like, now that actually makes sense, that the voters are probably like, oh, well, we're just going to do this, and this is the Cubs trying to get ahead of it. Like, I wasn't cynical enough in looking at this, and thank God Barry Rosner is here to remind me of my cynicism. Also, Speaks, I'm going to put up for a vote. Instead of Occam's Razor, it should be called Occam's Rosner, and I am here to tell you that that's how things should work. But I don't know if you saw Tom's statement, and I want to read it to you, Barry. He said,
okay,
"We appreciate Sammy releasing his statement and for reaching out. No one played harder or wanted to win more. Nobody's perfect, but we never doubted his passion for the game and the Cubs. It is an understatement to say Sammy is a fan favorite. We plan on inviting him to the 2025 Cubs convention, and while it's short notice, we hope that he can attend. Yeah. We are all ready to move forward together." Inside of Ricketts' statement, there is no acknowledgement of apology. There's it now, like, honestly, you have opened up my eyes, sir, and this is why we put you on the show when you're available.
Well, I was not available, let's be honest. I was busy, and as soon as I get off the phone with you guys, I'm going back into the bar behind me. So let's be clear. I was not available.
I thought that the need for something shiny at the Cubs convention in an awkward offseason of sorts was enough. I thought maybe that was enough in terms of the sides deciding to come together. And then we had, Barry, you'd love it, we had a big talk about forgiveness and maybe the forgiveness that might be in men's hearts as we age about steroids.
Not in Barry's.
Yeah, no, not in mine, because I saw players lose their careers because of having to face guys who were either pitching with steroids or hitting with steroids. And I saw truly tremendous individuals like Andre Dawson suffer with injuries and still be a tremendous baseball player, but have to wait 9 years to get into the Hall of Fame because his numbers, which were extraordinary numbers by any measure and by any metric, swallowed up by the steroid era and suddenly meant to suddenly diminished because of that. So, no, there's no forgiveness on my end for those who cheated the game. As for Cub fans who love him and worship him, I don't have any problem with that. I don't care. Worship whoever you want. If Tom Ricketts wants to embrace him, I don't care about that. If my fellow voters have put him in the Cubs Hall of Fame, I don't care about that either. I don't care about any of this. I don't really care about anything anymore, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that I don't have to go on the radio and talk about it, although apparently that's what I'm doing right now. But I'm really happy I don't have to write about it because, frankly, I wrote God knows how many thousands of words about this guy who I have absolutely no respect for in any way, shape, or form, on or off the field. But again, that's a personal view or a professional view, whatever. Like I said, he did an awful lot of things in a Cubs uniform, mm-hmm. and people bowed down to him, and they love him, and they want him back. So if this brings him back, that's great for them, and it's probably very good for the Cubs, and it'll probably make them money in some way, shape, or form. But honestly, I couldn't give a crap one way or another. I mean,
we're thrilled to have bothered you. We're thrilled to have upset your day. I mean,
I don't like that we bothered him, but I do appreciate that we mean enough for him that he allowed himself to be bothered.
I don't know if that's true.
I was sitting on a bar stool. I walked, I don't know, let's see, about 70 feet to my car. And now I will walk 70 feet back to a bar stool. I don't care. I think it's too much of a coincidence probably that the vote was a few weeks ago and that suddenly this is happening. So again, my guess would be as he got voted in. You don't have to guess whether I voted for him or not.
It doesn't sound like it. Yeah, no.
But my guess is he got voted in and they went to him and said, look, we've created this position. We've staked out this position where you have to apologize. And I don't know what we're going to do because the convention's coming up. So something's got to give here. And he put out that half-hearted statement where he did not apologize at all and claims that he took steroids. Actually, never used the word. But mentioned something about trying to recover from injury. So the whole thing is really sort of farcical in my mind. But if this gets them all back together and this makes people happy, that's fine with me. Honestly, I do not care. I simply don't care. Not even the littlest bit do I care.
Well, Barry, we love you and we appreciate you.
I do like hearing your voices, both of you. I can't see you because I'm using the Zoom for the first time on my phone, and I have no intention of ever doing it again, but it's nice to hear your voices. And Lawrence, I'm glad you got away from Bernstein. Honest to God, what a gift for you. What a gift for you to have escaped that nightmare and to now be with Matt. And I hope both of your lives are so much better now than they were before.
They are.
Barry, you're the best.
Oh, God.
Love and respect. Go back the 70 feet so you can go have another drink.
I'm going back that way. Boys, you be good. Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope everyone has a great holiday season and that there is peace and love and joy in your life as there is in mine.
There's no better avatar of all of those things than Barry Rosner.
Yeah, peace and love and joy is Barry Rosner. 100%.
Right there. Occam's Rosner. That's what I'm talking about.
That's a keeper.
All right,
that's a keeper.
Let's give a pair of weekend passes to the Cubs convention away right now. Six caller to 312-540-0670 is going to get two weekend passes January 17th and 18th at the Grand Sheraton Hotel. And maybe you'll see Sammy there. You won't see Barry. I can promise you that. When we come back, we are going to talk with Dave Wonstead. He's going to be in studio. That's next here on The Score.